Welcome to Go Live Sunday,
where we have Will leading us in worship,
and John Cooper reading from the Book of Nehemiah,
and we have news of the prayer day on the 19th of September.
We hope you enjoy worshiping with us this morning.
I think that most of us like to have a go at predicting what's next, what's around the corner. It's amazing how once something has happened, we can often convince ourselves that we'd somehow predicted what would happen, even if we didn't really. You know that thing when someone says, "I told you so." It's not quite so easy now. I'm becoming a bit more accustomed to living with the reality that things are going to change one week to the next, whether it's how we're allowed to gather with family, friends, for work, for activities, or how we meet as church. We know that for the time being, things are likely to keep changing. So what do we do? There's a verse in Hebrews which you might be familiar with. It's a great verse to share when we're together, just to remind ourselves the significance of being able to gather and worship. But this week, I got a bit of a fresh perspective on it. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, "Let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, there's lots in these words, but what really spoke to me this week was, "Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another." Please don't hear me wrong. I completely get that we're all in very different places in terms of how COVID affects us and limits us, and this isn't in any way a guilt trip. But at the same time, certainly for me, neglecting meeting together is in danger of becoming a bit of a habit. And while there's oodles of energy going into trying to get to a point where we can safely gather more for more of us, which is completely right, how about just trying to meet together, encouraging one another? How can we meet in smaller groups, maybe just for a walk, a coffee, sending an email to a friend, a text, maybe dropping a card or a gift into someone? There is so much which we can be doing. Now, there are good things happening and there's loads of ways of connecting. Here's Fee to share a little bit about a prayer day coming up on the 19th.
Hi all, Jeremy Bedrock, Claire Green, Jackie James and myself have felt that it would do us a lot of good to have a prayer day. So here's what it is. It will be on Saturday the 19th of September. Here's the purpose for this prayer Saturday. Right at the start of the autumn, when our children, our young people and teachers like myself, you can see where I am, are back into school. It will be a time of thanksgiving, a time to express confidence, or a time to express frustrations, lament with the ambition to continue to be actively seeking God's word for today. It's okay not to be okay. So come and pray with us. With all the safety precautions in place, it's okay to be okay too, and to express thankfulness and confidence. We will hold three prayer sessions throughout the day, 9 a.m., 11 a.m., 3 p.m. They are spread, as we have said, all throughout the day, and booking will be essential to help us ensure that everybody is safe. The booking forms will be sent by email. If you do not receive an email with these booking forms, please contact admin Sally Petit at the office, or you can contact me directly or Jeremy Bedrock. And we will sort of make sure that you have all the details. We will be praying using the model mapped out in the Book of Acts for local communities, for the meshing of our church, for our nations and our world. God bless you.
Thanks, Fee. Now do join in with that one if you can. Prayer is such an important part of what we do together, and I miss being able to pray together. So looking forward to that day. Let's pray now as we come to worship. Lord, we thank you again that we are part of your church, that you will build your church, and we pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us, Lord. Give us inspiration, that we would love meeting together, that we would be creative, Lord, that we'd just know you in the everyday, whether it's the smallest thing of just a text message, or whether it's a bigger thing of getting together in a bigger group, Lord. We pray that we would just long to spend time with you and that we would know your Holy Spirit speaking to us. Father, thank you that we are part of your church. Amen.
So what is that I hear you say? Surely it's not a prestigious construction industry award. Well, it is, you know, it is. This is the Chartered Institute of Building Constructing Excellence Award for Collaboration. Now I can imagine you rocking back in your chair in awe at that. But quite seriously, this does have a serious relevance to this morning. We received this award as part of a team which piloted a new and innovative means of designing and procuring buildings, which was largely based on trust. This was a massively countercultural thing in the construction industry. And we spent around £50 million building around 10 buildings, and each one came in on time and on budget, and we got a lot of accolades for it. We even got a posh celebration dinner in London and received the award from Brian Blessed, no less. And he even said, "Gordon's alive," which kind of made a very sad fellow like me rather pleased. And if you haven't seen Flash Gordon, that would probably not mean a lot to you. But the difference between our project and the more traditional methods of construction was that the whole ethos was non-adversarial and completely collaborative. There was equity between all participants. Everyone was valued, whatever their status. There was no divisions. We recognised that kind of wearing a suit didn't make you an expert. And so you'd often see perhaps the architect chatting to the bloke who's digging a hole to see if we could design things better, would his hole digging be easier? We recognised that the guy digging the hole was the expert hole digger and not the architect. And this ethos went through the whole project and created an atmosphere of kind of mutual trust and respect. And from it, a lot of good relationships and friendships also grew. There was also a no blame culture within this method of construction that we did. And we moved together as one, and we moved at the same pace together. We did have some controls in place to make sure nobody was ever exploited, but actually they were never really needed. It was a shared journey and everybody played their part. And the celebration of it wasn't just through this award, but it was also recognised by the National Audit Office as an exemplar in construction procurement for government. Because working together, we proved it really, really worked. Now, last week, Dave kicked off a latest series and we're studying an Old Testament book. It's the book of Nehemiah. And that too is a story about construction project. I love being in a church that uses studies on construction projects to make a point. It's a good thing. Well, with Nehemiah, he wasn't actually building a building. His project was the rebuilding of some walls around a city. And the project manager was the name of the man who the book is attributed to, Nehemiah. Well, perhaps he was a bit more than a project manager, but you're going to have to read the whole book to really understand that. But the startling thing about Nehemiah is that he followed many of the same countercultural principles that we adopted 2,500 years later. From the beginning, it was never a vanity project. It was never Nehemiah's wall. The Bible narrative is always about us and we, never about him particularly. Because so often in the projects that I get involved in, you get these puffed up people saying, well, of course, I built this great structure, or they, you know, put their name to it in one way or another. But of course, their biggest involvement was probably just paying for it, which doesn't really count. Now, Nehemiah, it was all about following God and following that relationship we had, listening to God and doing the business that God had put in front of him. As a result, everyone was recognised in Nehemiah's project and they were valued whatever their status. There was no divisions. No one was too important. Everybody got equal honour. In Nehemiah 3, there's a list even of the people who worked on the building the walls. And it was astonishing because it was everybody. It lists high priests, goldsmiths, perfume makers, Levites, merchants, all many, many people. People who normally would not be wielding a trowel, but these people all got mucking in and doing the business. There's a great element where it talks in verse 14 about a guy called Malchetta who ended up working on the dung gate. Now, whether he had just upset Nehemiah and managed to get the rough job, or he could have just been a really humble sort of bloke and took on the dirty job to save everybody else. But it required humility from everybody, because in that day, you know, the high priests are mentioned as getting out there doing the building work. And for them to be doing manual labour was very countercultural and a hugely humble thing for them to do. Each person involved in that project was unqualified. They certainly weren't expert builders, but everybody's contribution was celebrated and everybody got their hands dirty. It was proper collaborative working. There were also some controls to make sure no one was exploited. And actually Nehemiah had to deal with a few people just who were taking advantage of the situation. But from it, there was that shared journey. And the whole of the building project, the rebuilding of the wall, concluded with everybody coming together. And it says in Nehemiah 8, it says, all the people came together as one in the square. Before the water gate. And it was very much as one. Everybody celebrated this together. It was a unified piece of work, a unified effort, and a unified celebration. Now, I think there are some really important common threads here that we need to grab hold of as a church. Because those of you who are part of our fellowship will know that subject to government keep changing their mind, we're working towards all meeting together in person from October. Forming small communities of perhaps 40 or 50 people. Now, obviously the logistics are really complex and all the guidance we have to meet is really, really detailed, and we've got to do our homework properly. There's loads of practicalities which we have to overcome to create a space where people feel confident, not just compliant, but we need to make sure everybody is confident that we're putting them in a safe place. And that's a big challenge. Now, as usual with Welton, there's no heroes, but a bunch of people who are just really getting on with it. But it's important that everybody is a participator and a collaborator with this. That people are prayerful through this, that God grows our confidence in this. That our community beyond the church sees an accessible group of passionate people following Jesus together, not an inaccessible holy huddle. Because God, I think, through this is going to be able to do something new. But we've all got to muck in. None of us are qualified, but we've all got to muck in. And even if you're just cheering on, it's all the people who are in the centre of this need encouragement, because it's quite a hard battle. And there will no doubt be loose ends. And that's okay too, but please don't criticise them, but just pick them up and see if you can deal with them. But it's also okay if you have concerns. You need to chat through and talk to people about it, because we need to find ways to alleviate and deal with concerns and not just hide them. This is a new and an exciting journey for us too. So it's important that we focus this right, that we don't move our focus being predominantly that we've got to meet together. But we need to keep our focus on Jesus, that he is the center of everything we're doing. This is a key part time for our church, and I believe God is going to do some amazing things through us. But there's one thing more I want to share about this story of Nehemiah. Because as I was preparing it, I realised that there was a far bigger and greater parallel to the story of Nehemiah. See, Nehemiah was in the business of rebuilding lives. But we have a parallel because we have a Jesus who is in the business of rebuilding lives. Sorry, Nehemiah was rebuilding walls and Jesus rebuilds lives. And he uses wholly unqualified people to help him do that. Sometimes lives are broken down because of big impact, big events. Or sometimes it's those things that just undermine your foundations. Niggling criticisms, just destroying self-esteem bit by bit by bit. Now, you may not have had an encounter with Jesus before, or you may have known him for years, but as you sit and you're looking at your computer screen, Jesus is calling you to lift your head to redirect your gaze from your circumstances to him, because he is the one who restores. He wants to restore. See, we read in John 3:17, for God did not send his son to the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's not about guilt and shame, it's about restoration. And like with the story of Nehemiah, it is inclusive, not conditional. This is not based on how good you are or what you've done in the past. You are wanted, you are needed, just as you are. He wants to restore you and bring you back to his purposes as an equal player within it, within the community. In participating in his plans, he will bring something so unique in you, something of value, something worth celebrating. You may not be qualified, but God does use unqualified people. And he doesn't want you to be somebody or something that you're not. He just wants to restore the potential that he set inside you when he created you. See, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We're spending a lot of time at the moment wearing masks. And it may be that you feel like many of us, you're a bit kind of more secure behind a mask. But he wants to reveal the son or the daughter that he's so proud of. He wants to reveal the fullness of who you are in relationship with him and in relationship with his church. In Corinthians 12, it says that famous verse, it says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its parts form one body, and so it is in Christ. When we read Nehemiah, we read of interdependency, all moving together as one, no heroes, but a shared journey. And it's about doing life together as Christ, with Jesus. Humanity was always designed to be in relationship with God and each other, and this is the restoration project that we are part of. Not based on qualifications, but simply because Jesus has made the way open. So however you're feeling, God is calling you now. Perhaps this is for the first time that you're being called or spoken to, or it could be he's calling you back in, but you are a complete and integral part of God's community if you choose to be. There can be no edge to that. There can only be a centre. But before I finish completely, there's just one final verse I want to share with you. Something I think God wants to highlight. And it's this exciting verse. And it says in Isaiah 43:19, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. That's amazing. I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Perhaps this is where God wants to meet you this morning, in that promise that he will make a way through that wilderness that you've been living in or are living in. That he will create a stream, living water, in those arid wastelands of your life. The wilderness he will break through. Perhaps this is for you this morning. If it is, please don't just switch off your computer. Join us in the chat room after. Have a chat with somebody about it, because God is a God, a dynamic God, who wants to restore and engage with us. So please see us later in the chat room. In the meantime, though, may God be with you.
Thanks, Jonathan. I just love Jonathan's heart for seeing restoration in people's lives and his love for the church at Welton. Next Sunday, we're going to be taking communion together over Zoom as part of our Go Life Sunday. So please be ready with bread and juice. And if that's not possible for any reason, do get in touch and we'd love to send you them pre-packed. Also, it would be really great if you could be praying for our Ignite Youth Group this week as they begin Youth Alpha on Friday night. I want to say a big thanks to the leaders for planning and leading this. It's so good. And I'm really praying you'll all get something fresh from God through doing this together. I know you will. Now, if you're new to Welton, please don't be shy. We'd love you to join us on Zoom. The meeting code will be down in the group chat below. God bless.